It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
The same distance he hit from in the Super Bowl to set a short-lived record. To make it a two-score game.
Mark Sanchez, man. You can isolate that. Oh, it goes left. And you knew it was going left. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. I don't have a long one in me. I don't. Yesterday was deflating. It was draining. And boy, is that the worst loss under Kyle Shanahan? Let's take away the first season where it's an expansion team. In 2018, the quarterback goes down, Jimmy Garoppolo in week three. But since 2019, is that the worst regular season loss under Kyle Shanahan? There's been some bad ones. There's the 11-10 game in Denver where Jimmy threw the pick eight. There's the Cardinals game at Levi Stadium where Colt McCoy looked like Roger Staubach and James Conner looked like the second coming of Earl Campbell. You've got some bad regular season losses.
On second and five, this is Eno Benjamin. A little hop step, and oh, he trucked Drake Kirkpatrick and takes it in for the touchdown.
Oh my goodness, Kevin Kugler.
The Ravens game on Christmas was pretty bad.
But they were a really good team. When I think of bad,
they got thumped.
They got thumped. But you know what? When I think about
you mean bad loss. Like
bad,
as in
this is like a bad
okay,
loss.
Seattle. This okay? You want to know? I know you brought up 1988, and this reminded me of the Seattle game. Okay, the one they went to overtime with, and there was all these clock issues toward the end of the game where they were speeding things up when they had no like in that game. It was either you walk away with a tie or you win the game. You cannot give the ball back to Seattle and lose the game. It's either tie or win, and that's it. And that's why I look at the situation yesterday, and I know you and I just disagree, and that's fine. There was no need to call a timeout with 1:54 left on the clock. I would have allowed it to get down to 1 minute. Once it gets down to 1 minute, you can burn a timeout. Fine, go right ahead. That would be two play calls that they would call. It would be third down. They're probably going to throw up multiple times in that situation because they need seven. The last thing I am doing is allowing enough time on the clock because if I don't, it's not four down territory. When you're chasing, it's four down territory, meaning you're going for it on fourth down. In a tie game situation, you can always punt because you could get stopped. And that sack that they had after the Ronnie Bell drop, it was a disaster. And I get it. You got to make plays. You got to make catches. But you also have to insulate yourself from mistakes that might happen on the field. And I just thought the clock measure, the list of things that were wrong, it's not the top.
No,
but
I think
it's in there.
I think it's all the way down on the list because I had no problem with calling the timeout because I did want more time for the offense to operate so they could take their time in a 2 minute drill. Hey, let's call
but
a play.
See, that's where
let's
hold
on. Me hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
No,
let me finish.
Gonna,
no, let me finish. No,
minutes.
No, let me
it's
finish.
Not
you're losing it. No, it's an end. So what? I don't care. It's 2024.
It's a 1 minute
drill.
I don't
care.
Peyton
no, I disagree.
It's a 1 minute drill.
I don't give
drill.
A damn about what Peyton
you don't
said.
Think what Peyton
I don't care
smart?
About what
How
Peyton
about
said yesterday.
How about
I don't
Mahomes?
Care about. I don't care about that. Call a timeout there, second down. My offense is in control. My offense is in control.
Yeah,
because if you don't call a timeout and you only get 30 seconds back, and you say, well, it only takes 2 plays to get in the field goal range. Now we're to asking a team that's not really accustomed to stretching the field consistently like the 49ers and their vertical passing game being picked apart and being behind the times. I want as much time as I want, and I want control of the football game. At a minute 53 with a team with no Debo, no Christian McCaffrey, no George Kittle, and I call up a perfect play to Ronnie Bell to get myself in the field goal range and control the clock. That situation would have been completely irrelevant if the players made plays. So, yes, I do disagree with that. I had no problem with them calling a timeout to conserve time saying, okay, if we get the ball back, we have our chance to just kind of ease into a 2 minute drill. If we want to run the ball in a situation in a 2 minute drill, if we want to get close, we can do that. But we have control of the entire football game instead of risking, hey, if we stop the Rams on third down, what if they throw a pass, right? Because they may throw a pass.
Okay.
You tackle him at the one. Then what are you going to do? You're going to let the time even roll?
You blow a timeout under 1 minute. You still have plenty of time to work the whole field.
I had no problem with that timeout.
Belichick's talked about this over and over. Peyton Manning's talked about it. Tom Brady.
I had no problem with that timeout.
Everyone said, it's not a two-minute drill anymore. It's a one-minute drill.
Yeah, but I had no problem. With the 49ers in their vertical passing game,
they moved the ball well yesterday.
We need all the time we can get.
But they moved the ball well yesterday.
They moved the ball. They did. But in that situation.
This coach still, time and time again, doesn't understand clock situation. So that to me is on the list of many items, defense as well. Like you're not stopping a nosebleed. You turn the ball back over to them and you give them any time on the clock, you are losing that game, which they did.
It wasn't that egregious to me. And then, by the way, that point is moot if you make a freaking tackle on the punt team and Xavier Smith doesn't return a punt, he fields at that 15.
So you felt good giving them the ball with whatever, what it was, 40 seconds? They were going to win that game.
They should have never had the ball back.
The minute you punted it back to them, they were winning that game.
I don't think like that. Now, I'm thinking ahead of the game. Hold on, let me finish before you cut me off again. I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to get in the field goal range and control the freaking game. Nah, you blow it. I don't factor in a drop pass. Like, I'm calling the play of saying my player's got to make a play. You make a play, Ronnie Bell, we're in the field goal range, we're taking a couple knees or a couple run plays, game's over in the regulation, right? They don't touch the ball. They don't touch
the
ball again.
You gave the ball back to 42 seconds. Baked into throwing.
Well, if you make the tackle. You make the tackle at the 15-yard line, Shasky. You make the tackle at the 15-yard line like you're supposed to on special teams.
So you think they were stopping them? After they gave up a 50-yard PI.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have faith in that defense stopping them.
Okay.
So that's you.
Zero
you think
they were going to stop.
Well, that's you. And you're a rational fan sometimes.
No,
you're a rational fan sometimes.
I'm calling the
timeout. I'm doing that thing. And so I'm calling the timeout, saving time for Brock Purdy to do what he needs to do if he needs to scramble. Because all of a sudden you get the scramble drills and you got less than a minute and you don't have the, and you got the timeouts. Now you got to burn them. Nah, I'm good off that. I want a minute 53. I want as much time as I can to operate down the field and get myself in the field goal position. At that point, you make a tackle on special teams. They got first and 10 at the 15. They still need about 45, 50 yards with no timeouts left. You get one sack, that's 20 seconds.
They weren't getting a sack. They didn't get any sacks yesterday.
Who knows, 45 seconds on the clock.
It's a clock game. This is the modern NFL. Out of all the things to bitch and moan about this morning,
I'm not going to bitch and moan about a timeout. No, that was like 2015 on my list with a timeout on second down. That didn't change the damn game. Right. The game got changed because you don't make tackles. To me, it was the same loss. Whatever. We can nitpick about that. But it's one of the worst regular season losses under Kyle Shanahan. I think we both.
I was watching it on YouTube. I was watching it on the YouTube stream, and there's 3 minutes to go. I'm doing the live video, and Garendo goes out of bounds, and there's a penalty. I'm like, what are we doing, guys? What are we doing? Then they throw a pass to Juwan Jennings, and the throw takes him out of bounds. What are we doing? Why are we stopping the clock? With the final 6 minutes of a game, the clock is as important as play calls. The timeouts and when you use them and how you allocate them are as important as any play that you can call. And so all of these things, when you lose a game, come back to roost and you have to reflect on them. And it's week in, week out. We can nitpick a timeout here, a not burned timeout there, and we say to ourselves, God, if they just had one more play or this play. And I'm going to hyper-focus on the timeouts.
Yeah, I don't think the timeout is a big deal.
I'm not going to hype about time
because Super Bowl 54, I'm sitting here talking about the clock. The whole damn thing's been like that. So I'm over the clock management. Kyle's not great at that situation. He's not great in clock management. But that position, I understood why he's called a timeout. He's thinking to myself, I need as much time. I can't let the Rams bleed the clock down to give myself, I want to give my offense and Purdy an opportunity to win the game at the end of regulation. So we can disagree on that. To me, it wasn't the biggest issue in the world. There's a lot of other issues. Special teams. Outside containment, not converting on third downs, drop passes. How many drop passes yesterday? Six or seven? I mean, come on, man. Penalties. You're 7-11 on penalties. You know, you're 7-4 over 100 yards in penalties. There's a lot of things that went wrong yesterday, and I'm looking at that tight end, that timeout, saying that's not one of them, in my opinion.
It is. That's just me.
We disagree on that one.
The reason being is because when you're in it's a three-down situation because it's a tie game. So if you pump the ball back to the other team, if you're chasing, you get four downs, right? And it doesn't matter. You turn it over because you're chasing the lead. When you are in a tie game, the last thing you can do is give your opponent the ball at home with an opportunity to march down. And so to me, this is This is very, 2 minutes is 1980s football. We are in the 1 minute era. We watched some of the great quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins last week, Monday Night Football had 38 seconds and marched the distance for a field goal.
Yeah, but that team played
with
super
no timeouts.
That team, that Philadelphia made a philosophical disagreement.
But they played. It's not a 2 minute drill anymore.
I understand that. I understand that completely. Been saying that for years. It's a 1 minute drill. I think I coined that on this station. They played soft, Philadelphia. That's one thing. Vic Fangio played a previous defense. But here's the other thing. We can't go back and say, boy, 1 minute drill, that's plenty of time. When all last week, what did we discuss last week? The vertical passing game is out of touch. They don't take deep shots. They don't do this. They don't do that with their passing game. It's outdated. They don't throw outside the numbers. Everything's in the middle of the field. So if 30 seconds are left and all they do is throw over the middle of the field, who the hell knows if they're even going to have time to even line up for a field goal?
They were gashing them in the middle of the field yesterday. You throw a 15-yard slant or an in route of some sort. You gump up, you spike it. You got 25 seconds left. Like, again, Peyton Manning went through this entire operation. He's like, look.
I don't need Peyton Manning to tell me how to run a damn 2 minute drill. I'm watching football my whole life, and I've been watching this head coach for his entire career with the 49ers. In that situation, when I got Juwan Jennings knowing that, okay, I got him cooking, but got nobody else in the passing game cooking, I want as much time as I can get. I got control of the football game. At the point, even though it's a tie game, at that point, I've got control of the football game.
You don't, though, because you only have three plays.
They did. If Ronnie Bell catches a damn pass, this entire conversation, we're not even having it. We're not even having it.
Ronnie's never caught a
pass. But he's hit him in the hands. He's on the field. I got to trust him to make a play. That's on him to not make a play. That's on him to not make a play.
Extremely important here.
So he doesn't make the play, and you have control of the entire football game.
He's never made a play in a game, preseason or regular season.
No, he has made a play. He made a couple plays. He's made a couple plays last Thursday Night Football against the New York Giants last season. He did make plays. So to say he's never made a play is factually not correct. That is inaccurate. He has made plays.
Five drops in preseason alone this year. He's done nothing.
So how about this, though?
And you have a $30 million receiver. What's the point of having a $30 million receiver?
This is another reason why I agree with the timeout. So say if they don't call a timeout and the Rams on fourth down. Say it gets the fourth down, and there's about 40 seconds left on the clock.
Well,
right?
There would have been 50.
About 50 seconds, right? What if they do
and
score?
You have two timeouts
in your
back pocket.
What if they do score?
Okay.
They do score, and they go for two.
You're in the same situation. You're going for a field goal. Like, you're only down one now. Like, again, you're
with
in the
a lot
exact
less time.
Same. Now you have 40-some-odd seconds after the play is run.
I don't agree with two timeouts.
This is part of it.
The game is
over with a field goal, whether it's a one-point lead for the Rams. And in that situation, I actually like it better because you know it's four-down territory.
I don't agree with it.
Chasing a point. In a tie game, the last thing you can do with only three plays is pump the ball back to the other team with time, knowing that your special teams is putrid.
We're basking in, with 40 seconds left, basically, 50 seconds left, we're nitpicking. We're now saying that that's enough time when Brandon Ayuk is on the milk carton. Ronnie Bell can't catch a cold. You've got no tight end, and we expect the Niners to get in a position to score?
Brock was cooking yesterday, and their offense was moving the ball.
They were moving the ball, but that's not good enough.
If you get the kickoff at the 30, and you have 40 seconds with two timeouts, if you can't drive with this coach and that quarterback in that game, because the game matters, that game where they were moving the ball, I'm saying, like, what are we doing here, guys? We can't get to field goal range?
What critical play did they make in the fourth quarter? When they needed to make a play in the fourth quarter, what play did they make in the last 5 minutes of that game?
Brock scrambled and made a humongous first down where he slid down.
And what did that lead them to?
To get to first and goal.
What did that lead them to?
A field goal attempt.
A missed field goal.
Okay.
A missed field goal. They didn't make enough plays critically. So to ask them to make a play with 40 seconds left. No, come on, man.
What do you mean?
That second down play. That timeout had nothing to do with anything. I'm totally in agreement with the timeout on second down to give my team enough time to roll and to have control of the football game. That ensured me that, you know what, if we make enough plays down the stretch, the Rams won't get the ball again. Well, they did, and you missed the damn tackle on special teams, and you gave up a 34, 35-yard punt return. That wasn't baked into the equation. How about you make a tackle? I got a lot of confidence, even though the defense was struggling yesterday, with 40 seconds left, and the Rams having no timeouts, I have confidence in my defense to make enough plays to send that game to overtime. I do. But
wait,
that's me.
So the offense that moved the ball and scored and had a historic day from a wide receiver, okay, you had no confidence in them to score late.
No, I did have. No, I didn't say that.
No.
See, now you're parsing my words.
No, I'm not. I'm listening.
I don't have enough. No, you're interrupting me left and right. You don't have enough playmakers out there with 40 seconds left to make enough plays. If Ayuk is not making plays, Ronnie Bell can't make a catch, and you got that much time, I don't believe. We just had a conversation all last week, multiple guests, about the vertical passing game and how they don't throw outside the numbers. And now we're expecting them to do something different in crunch time?
No, the game matters. The feel of the game. Had you only thrown for 110 yards in that game, my opinion would be different. You were gashing them via the pass with Juwan Jennings. In fact, it was so good, it was one of the most historic days a 49er wide receiver has ever had. So, yeah, and I thought that Purdy actually had pretty good pocket feel and was scrambling and moving around. So, I said it in real time on the stream. I'm going to go to my dying bed. You don't need a full 2 minutes in 2024 with one timeout or even no timeouts to get into field goal range.
But with Shanahan and his offense and his philosophy, I think you need all the time in the world. I think it's been proven that his two-minute drills, it leaves a lot to be desired. So if it was Andy Reid coaching, sure, I'm with you. If it's McVay coaching, but we're talking about Kyle Shanahan, and we've got numerous data, a ton of data, that proves that, oh my gosh, Shanahan in two-minute situations, it leaves a lot to be desired. I don't know. I call the timeout. I have no problem with the timeout. That, to me, was way – that's not even in the top 10 of my blame game list of what went wrong yesterday for the San Francisco 49ers. I want to take a quick call. Let's go to BPA. He's been on hold the longest.
Yeah, I think you guys are arguing about like pretty small things.
It's a minuscule thing.
Bigger picture is, yeah, I think Kyle butchered his defensive coordinator hire for a second consecutive year. He didn't fire a special teams coach who might be the worst special teams coach in the NFL, with plenty of evidence and sample size to support that. And he's really got there's no one to blame except himself. And I've been a huge Kyle supporter. And when you butcher your D coordinator hire in consecutive years, that's bad. It's bad. It's a bad look. And Sorensen is terrible. I mean, that was one of the worst coach defenses I've ever seen from the 49ers in the Shanahan era. They had no idea what they were doing. They just rushed four, no disguise. Really, Shanahan's adherence to the scheme, thinking that's more important than the coach. The scheme is archaic, man. It's run its course, basically. And you look at, Spagnuolo, Spags, and Flores, and the best defense coordinators in the NFL are showing a lot of different looks and pressures and blitzes. You can't just rush four if your defensive line isn't very good.
Hey, BPA, and I thought the secondary was going to be improved. How many plays on the ball has the secondary made through three games?
Yeah, I've said this all offseason. We have terrible safeties. Terrible. Terrible, slow, can't cover. Jair Brown is very good. Hufanga is essentially a linebacker. And so, you have bad safeties. You have, I think we have a couple good corners. Who's the third corner? That's scary right now. But
get him.
Yeah, they don't look coached up.
I mean, he doesn't deserve to have his name pronounced properly. The guy stinks.
That's disrespectful, man. Put some respect on his government. His mama may be listening.
Robin, oh, my gosh!
Robin in San Francisco. Robin, what's happening?
Hey, sweetie. I was going to not call, but you called me out. I said I wasn't going to listen. Me and my friend Dean, we said, because we didn't want to hear the whining. And it was just so gut-wrenching. But here's the deal. What you've always, and maybe I've been saying it wrong, what you've always disagreed with me. And I said, the problem I have with Kyle Shanahan is his selection of personnel. That was a collective loss yesterday. I think Brock Purdy did good, and of course the receiver, who's a flat receiver, really. But he did really good. They did good. And the bottom line is that he won't, his philosophy about getting the rush from the line so that the secondary doesn't get exposed. But that's been going on for years. When the last time we really, you did tell me we have a good secondary after
yeah,
I thought we were good.
Robin, I thought we were going to be good. I don't mean to interrupt you. I thought we were going to be good, and I think I'm way off on that.
Lott and Hicks, but here's the deal. The secondary really sucks, okay? To me, they were, like, the worst out there besides all the little mistakes. And nobody's talking about the penalties. It's almost as if they were not prepared. I don't understand it. That was a mystery yesterday. That's all I called in to say. But that personnel, that secondary sucks. I'm sorry. Well, Dante Whitner, even.
Well, you know, it goes hand-in-hand with a pass rush, right? Secondary, a great secondary could use a great pass rush. Pass rush can help out a secondary. So you don't have a pass rush. And Matthew Stafford's back there, 1-1001, 1-1002, 1-1003, 1-1004, 1-1, let it fly. He had all the time in the world. It's hard in this league, and I'm not making excuses for these guys. I'm not. But it is hard in the NFL to cover for 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 seconds at a time. It is really hard. Now, with that said, Charvarius Ward probably shouldn't have played. If he's out there with soreness, with a hamstring and knee, he obviously was compromised a bit. I'd just rather not see him play. Because you're hurting your team by not being 100%. And he got smoked on a deep ball by Tutu Atwell and put the Rams in position to tie the football game at 24 a pop.
The deep ball was one that's going to, like, stick out. To me, it's all these bunch formations, and sometimes they have guys in movement, sometimes they don't, but they just cloud it up, and it's a version of a pick play, and it's a version of a rub route, and then they just bring a crosser across, and they're like, we don't think Charvarius Ward, we don't think Tig Brown, we don't think Hufanga, and all the other guys on this, in the back end of this defense, can cover on a crosser. How many crossing routes yesterday? Whether it's tight end, wide receiver, etc.
Second level throws, third level throws, it was all over the place.
And to your point about Stafford, he watch how many times he gets back to his back foot and is like, yeah, I'll climb in the pocket comfortably.
Very comfortably. Now I want to go back to the situation there because we brought up the deep ball. So say the 49ers don't call a timeout on second down. All right? 40 seconds
is going to elapse.
There's 154. 40 seconds elapses off the play clock.
Uh-huh.
It's 114.
Okay.
Let's say the Niners stuffed the Rams on third down.
So now I would probably call a timeout.
Okay, so you're going to call a timeout.
Yes.
About 1:05 left.
The goal is to not allow them a possession after the current possession they have.
But
that's the goal.
Okay.
It's called playing the percentages.
Okay. But on the flip side.
Yeah?
They did call the timeout. If Ronnie Bell catches that pass, the Rams, you're basically ensuring that the Rams don't touch the ball over, right? So Shanahan, hold on, before he cut me off. Shanahan is basically having confidence in his offense, saying, okay, we got enough time. We dialed up the plays. We don't have to rush in the initial 30 seconds. Call a couple plays, you know, quick cuddle, boom, boom, we're out of there. He catches that pass, Ronnie Bell. And I'm not blaming him on losing the game because there's a multiple things. But with Ronnie Bell, if he catches that pass, you ensure that the Rams don't touch the ball again. So it does work out when you call the timeout because you're like, all right, cool. Now we stabilize it. We got the ball inside the 30-yard line. I got a timeout to play with. The Rams are going to have to burn theirs. We're back in field goal range, and they're not touching the ball back in regulation.
To me, it's about playing the percentages, and it's very simple. I am not allowing the Rams, after they're at the goal line with close to 2 minutes left in the game, and it's basically a first and goal situation, I'm not allowing them to have another possession. If they're going to score a touchdown here, they're going to score a touchdown. I want to give myself about a minute.
Okay.
About a minute is what I'm looking for.
But Ronnie
Bell
can't.
Just hear me out.
Catches the pass, they're not touching the ball again.
But he didn't catch it. And when you throw the ball, the clock is going to stop. So when you have a minute and a half, what you're saying is, even if I score quickly, I might let time on the clock for them. I have to execute brilliantly. And in a tie game scenario, as opposed to chasing, you have three plays, not four. This goes back to the overtime. When you are going for three plays, meaning first, second, and third, and you're not in a four-down situation, you're limiting the margin of error. And one sack in that situation, you're screwed. One drop ball, you're screwed.
But you, as a coach, you don't coach like that saying, boy, if my guy drops a pass, he's got complete confidence in his players to make a play. And Brock Purdy threw a perfect throw to have the confidence to get a first down and get in the field goal range. So with that, if he just holds on to the damn football, the Rams are not touching the ball again.
But he doesn't.
So it works out.
But he doesn't.
But he dropped. But you know what? You got to play with the guys out there. You can't just go out there, well, Ronnie Bell's going to drop a pass, so why not just throw it to him? He made the great throw. It was a dime. Hit him right in the numbers. Shanahan said, oh, damn it. So that's all moot if he catches the pass and the Rams don't touch the ball again. I don't know, man. We disagree on that one. But look, what we don't disagree on is this is one of the worst losses under Kyle Shanahan, and we're going to continue to talk about it. 888-957-9570. That's coming up, brought to you by Freeman's Appliance.
We had every chance to win that game. Also, we had a number of times in the game we had opportunities to run away with it, especially early in the game, having that 14-point lead. And they hadn't really moved the ball on our D and starting with that fake punt. Thing after that, you know, I feel like he went like 8 of his next 10 or something like that. So that got him back in the game. There at the end, a couple, we want to go in and score on that drive. Obviously, a touchdown. We ended up getting a field goal. I believe it made it 2 scores. But then they went right down and answered with a field goal. Thought we had a chance to make it a 2-score game. We ended up missing that field goal. And then I think they got a bomb where they went down there right away. Didn't even make him really work for it. They got a big chunk, got behind our defense too much today, gave him some easy ones in that way, and we saw what happened then.
If you love Philadelphia, there's a high probability that you hate these two. It's the Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Love you guys. Most of the time.
She's feeling good. Philadelphia's feeling good. They got a big win down in New Orleans, 15-12. Saquon Barkley looks amazing in that uniform, and he is running hard. He's running like a man possessed right now. He made up for that drop pass on Monday Night Football with a huge run to get the Eagles a lead. But you heard from Kyle Shanahan, he's right. That fake punt flipped the game. Momentum was all on the Niners sideline, and Rams were dead. It's 6:20 left in the first half. They're facing a 4th-and-6. They've got nothing cooking. And they run a fake punt. Nobody sets the edge. Ronnie Rivers gets 7 yards. And Stafford ends up going. And Shanahan's right. Stafford ended up going 8 of 10 on that drive for 80 yards. They go on a 16-play, 87-yard drive. That nearly took 8 minutes off the clock. And they got back in the game. Now McKivitz got to make a block. You get the sack fumble before halftime. Niners are up 14-7. And we're all thinking at halftime. I know you're thinking it. I'm thinking it. Every Niner fan out there is thinking it. How the hell is this game only 14-7?
They should have been up so many more.
They should have been up so many points. So then we run 9 snaps in the second half on the offensive side of football. They ran 9 offensive plays in the second half.
Second quarter. They had full control for the whole first quarter, and they ran, whatever, a handful of plays the Rams did. They had -9 passing yards.
Yeah.
He didn't have a completion until, like, his 4th series or whatever it was. And, like, the worst part about it is that there were some big bombs. Like, Tutu made plays. They made a couple of acrobatic plays. One they dropped near the sideline. But you gave him 75 yards on penalties. In the second half, 75 yards on 2 pass plays.
Yep.
And we talk about stretching the field. Those are the kind of plays. And he actually had 2 or 3 that were like airmailed, where he's just stretching the field.
Yep.
Those are the ones where it bugs me that we don't do more of them, because I know they can do more of them. It just feels like they don't dial up those types of plays.
Well, you do it in the first quarter to Brandon Ayuk. You dial up a deep shot. I'm like, wow, look at Purdy. And he had that baby in the air for about 55 yards.
He actually left a lot of air under it.
You get a really penalty. Nice pass. And the whole, that would have been a touchdown.
Yes.
It would have been a touchdown. Ayuk runs a great route. Tre'Davious White is beat, but you force a penalty. That's why I love the deep shots. You force a penalty. Now, the deep shot on the second to last possession on second down. Purdy was looking that way. Ike's running down the seam, wide open. That's the one play.
When you look at the back view of that, though, and I'm not trying to defend him, he missed him. Like, there's no other way around it. But, like, I could see where he thinks the safety's going with him. It's tough to tell the safety depth. I don't know. It's a tough play.
On that play, it wasn't the safety to me. It was Tre'Davious White.
On the left side?
Because Tre'Davious White on the left side, he's looking at him, and Tre'Davious White is like, oh, no, Ayuk's open. So maybe Purdy's thinking like, maybe it's too late. Do I put under? And he doesn't, you know, and that's a tough play. But he is wide open. That changes the game. That changes the conversation for Brandon Ayuk. That changes the conversation this morning. Now we're all of a sudden talking about what a win for Brock Purdy. Oh, my gosh, he won without the Avengers. Oh, my God, give him all the money. Instead, we're having conversations about special teams, about missed field goals, using a timeout. I mean, it is just unbelievable. The punter.
I mean, I've seen people criticize. I don't even know. Like, criticize the angle of the punt that he kicked. Well, Mustafa just whiffed, and then a bunch of other guys whiffed. I mean,
Adamine did say they probably wanted more air under that football. But you give up a 34-yard punt return. You can't do that.
And then they go right at Devondre Campbell.
Right at him. Devondre Campbell, who can't guard. Oh, my God, Devondre Campbell. Shanahan on the special teams.
Today, that fake punt, you know, it's just the momentum in the game. That's where I thought we had a chance to run away with it, not give them any hope. And that gave them a lot of hope, got them back in it. And obviously would have loved to make that field goal. And then every punt return, I didn't really see it. They got to the left on our side. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but those are three big plays in the game.
Huge plays.
Let's Kyren go. Williams killed them.
Kyren Williams killed them,
I don't think we've talked enough, because Stafford had moments in this game, and
Kyren Williams controlled the game.
Tremendous leadership. Kyren, 24 for 89, and that's not going to pop. He was better than those numbers.
Yeah, 3.7, and he started falling forward. You know what I'm saying? There's a running back when, you know, who's at
he had a fourth and one late in that game to put him at the goal line. It was a beautiful run.
Who's the running back for the Kansas City Chiefs now, replacing Pacheco?
Oh, the white guy.
Steele. So Collinsworth made it a point, him and Tirico said, look how dirty his jersey is. It's like he's playing outdoors. And Collinsworth's like, it's a lot better to see dirt on the front of the jersey than the back of the jersey, because you know he is mauling dudes and trucking dudes and moving forward. So that was just, J.P. Mason had another good game. He's going to get overshadowed. I think he's running hard. He's making some catches out of the backfield. I think J.P. Mason's having an excellent, excellent, excellent start to the season. But when you lose, we don't even, like, people are even nitpicking the lateral at the end of the game. With Brandon Ayuk targeting?
I don't.
He got smoked on that play. There's no doubt about it. He got smoked, but I get why a referee wouldn't throw a flag on that situation. It's a scramble drill. It's like rugby out there.
I saw people say if he catches it, they score. I don't know. I think that's easy to say. I think it's a lot harder to execute. The final play, whatever. It shouldn't have got to that.
No, it shouldn't.
It shouldn't have got to that. And we can nitpick a million different, like the third down drop from Ayuk early in the game. Yeah. That's so early in the game, it's tough for me to say that's the moment. The one for me is the one before halftime, because it's a turnover, right? It's one thing to allow another player bat the ball out of your hands. All right, 50-50 ball, whatever. I thought it was slightly behind. Maybe he should still make the catch. But the McKivitz sack where he goes right around him and then strips Purdy, that felt like an opportunity to get 3 or 7.
Yeah. You steal the momentum back.
Exactly.
And the Rams were getting the second half kick. But you were able to save, even with that said, Chosky, that was a tough play. But even with that said, in the third quarter, you watch it back, Rams basically punt. Niners get
they
the ball.
They got stops.
They got stops. And the Niners go on this 11-play, 91-yard drive. That took nearly 7 minutes off the clock. Look at 11 plays, 91 yards. Juwan Jennings make a play after
Garendo
play.
Garendo actually had some runs.
Garendo had to play. But the Purdy, we haven't even talked about it. Do we have the highlight? Purdy to Jennings for 31-yard? Let me know when you cue that up.
Oh,
let's get
God.
David Frisno real quick. David Frisno real quick, and then we'll cue up that highlight, because I want to break that down, because that was a beautiful throw, beautiful route. What up, Dave? Dave, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Hey.
What's up? What you doing? Is that your kid?
You guys been saying.
Is that your kid?
You guys are saying all day who the fault is, and you're beating around the bush. It's Kyle Shanahan. You want to blame the coordinators? You want to blame poor Bell? You want to blame the special teams? Why not blame the guy who makes those decisions?
Well, you know why? You know, I'm not blaming Shanahan. Let me explain why I'm not blaming Shanahan. When I see 6 drop passes, I see 7 penalties, I see missed tackles, I see these guys not setting the edge, I see lack of effort on pass rushes, it's hard for me to blame a coach who's not suiting up and playing a game. Players play, coaches coach. Players got to they got to freaking execute. Enough with the blaming the head coach for every single loss. He's not playing a damn game. It's the players on the field who are not getting pass rushes. I'm about to lose my mind right now. When he dials up a play to Ronnie Bell and he drops it, when guys commit penalties on first downs. Stop blaming the head coach for every damn thing around here.
You gonna let me finish, bro?
Yeah, I'm gonna let you finish right now, Dave. I had to get that off.
Okay. No, I hear you, bro, but he makes those decisions. He's a de facto in charge of this whole franchise. He makes all the decisions. The personnel, the coach's decisions. Ronnie Bell was on the field way more than Cowan. Cowan had a way better preseason. Everybody can see that. It was his decision to have Bell out in the first place. It's his decision to have McKivitz out there. It's his decision to have Campbell out there. Yeah, you say players got to make plays. Why don't you put the correct players on the field? And also with the whole play, the clock management, that's also been a negative on Shanahan. So, like, we blaming Sorensen. He's the guy that hired Sorensen. And we want to blame him? Like, come on, dude. You guys put him on his pedestal, not me. So he needed to be treated as such.
So you want? So let me ask you. You want Shanahan gone?
No, see, that's so lame. Stop doing that.
No, you're blaming him. You're saying he's picking everything. It sounds like he's on a great coach.
We're criticizing him. I think we're criticizing him. I think it's different.
No, it's hey, hold him accountable.
Exactly.
Hey, fix it. If he can't fix it, then he has to go.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Well, and I would say this, like, to your point, do players have to make plays? Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. You know, the Bosa, you need to play better. Okay? I mean, Brandon Ayuk, catch the ball. Ronnie Bell, catch the ball. But let me play like the big picture here. Clock management continues to rear its head. Whether we agree, disagree, it seems at the end of the game, there are, even in victories, there are like, wow, there's a lot of things we can nitpick. Now, maybe that's every coach in the league, and I'm just focused on Shanahan. But that he does have control on that. He did hire the DC. He did. And so, yeah, he does need to be held accountable to a degree for that. Special teams, it's been a bugaboo of theirs his entire tenure. Now, they've been decent at times. It's also cost them a lot, right? Three different mistakes on special teams ended up, any one of them could have cost them this game. Penalties. I don't know where I fall down on penalties. Some of these post-snap infractions are just guys who aren't good, which brings me back to personnel. Like, why are we playing, you know, Colt McKivitz at right tackle? You could have invested a pick into a right tackle. You haven't done that, right? And so when we have penalties and when we have big gaffes by specific players, Ronnie Bell, I do question why he's on the roster because he hasn't looked good in preseason to the fans, right? Now, maybe he's doing things in the film room that I don't see, right? The contract holdouts, I don't know how much Kyle has to do with that, but it has leaked over into the regular season, and now it's affecting the team. Right? And whether that's front office, whether that's Kyle, but he's a big part of this organization. So he's not the reason that they're all of these things, but like the totality, somebody's accountable.
Yeah,
it does come back to the guy running the show.
This is a team-wide loss.
Agreed.
Team-wide loss. Out of all the, and trust me, I've been labeled a Shanahan hater. I 3 years ago, I heard from somebody from the Niners saying, man, you got something personal against Shanahan, don't you? I said, no. But if we're going to call him a genius, then we need to hold him accountable and put him on a pedestal. Be a genius then. You know, if you're going to be called a genius, be a genius. And he's not a genius. Nobody's a genius. But yesterday, when I look at that game, and out of all the people to blame, like, sure, Shanahan did hire Sorensen. Sorensen stunk. Sorensen stunk yesterday. But Moody makes a field goal. You're winning. You're going home. McKivitz makes a block. You're going home with a win. You know what I'm saying? Ronnie Brown makes a catch. You're going home with the win. Mustafa, Saubert, they make a tackle. Maybe you're going home with the win. Pressure. Javon Hargrave, hey, get some pressure. Stop the run. Maybe you get a win. Players at the end of the day do have to execute. They have to be. We can't just keep blaming the coach. Going, oh, the coach. He's not missing tackles.
No, but he's
not getting called for holding plays. You know what I'm saying? He's not going in for IVs like Mr. Trent Williams. You know what I'm saying? He's not setting the edge on the punt. Like, that. Come on, man. Out of everything to blame yesterday, we're going to go straight to Shanahan. I get it. He's the coach, and he's a lightning rod, and he hasn't won the big game, which is the Super Bowl. But yesterday, when I look at it, players are failing him.
He dialed up, like, for example, one of the best plays of the game, which we haven't even talked about, was the fake toss, fake slant to the throwback over to Jennings, which reminded me very similarly of the Seattle play on Thursday Night Football when Brock went up into Seattle and they did that play to George Kittle over the middle. That was a brilliantly designed play.
The screen play.
Brilliantly designed play.
Can you play that, Spadone?
Fake it to Mason. Purdy. The shuffle.
That was the jump ball.
That was the
one
jump ball. The Randy Moss one.
Jumped over the guy. Yeah, that was a great play.
Here's a touchdown.
Five in the pattern. Purdy stepping up, launching it. Jennings again. A three touchdown performance. The day of his NFL life.
That wasn't it either.
Oh,
that was
my
the,
God.
That was the rollout.
Are we looking at the first
later,
one or the second one? Just tell me which number.
It was
of
the
touchdown.
First touchdown.
Thank
in Jennings.
You.
The first of his career.
Brilliant completely tough, designed play.
But the route by Juwan Jennings, the safety, and Mark Sanchez highlighted it, the safety was playing on Juwan Jennings. They were sitting on the out, the quick out, because Purdy was killing them with the out routes and the slants, and the safety jumps the out route, and Jennings just turns it up on a beautiful route.
It was beautiful.
Purdy throws it right in stride, a beautiful spiral, 31-yard touchdown. It's 21-7, and I'm thinking order has been restored. Order's been restored. Niners are up 21-7. 11 plays, 91 yards. But what do the Rams do? Kind of like we talk about it in baseball, right? Shutdown innings.
Yes.
The score, you don't get the shutdown inning. All of a sudden, the momentum goes back into the other clubhouse. Well, the Rams, to their credit, get the ball down 21-7, and they go right back down the field in 6 plays to 70 yards. 6 plays, 70 yards, touchdown. And all of a sudden, it's 21-14 again. And I'm thinking to myself, why is this game so damn close? Now, you had to pass interference for 48 yards on a deep shot. Isaac Yiadom, he gets called for pass interference, and it flips the momentum again, just like that. And it came out, Nate, it was desperate, too. It was first, think about that, first and 15 at their own 25-yard line. Niner fans are barking at SoFi. You can hear them through the TV screen. 21-7, everybody smelling blood, put the Rams away, drop it at 0-3. Stafford drops back. Deep shot to Tutu Atwell, 48-yard pass interference. And then it's like, here we go again. So to Dave and Frisco, I like Dave because he calls us a lot, and I like Dave. I don't want to get on this bumper. But players got to make plays. You get called for a 48-yard penalty. Is that on Shanahan? Or is it on, well, let me guess, Shanahan picks the players to play? Isaac Adams got to make a play.
Well, he does, but has third corner, has third corner been a problem for the Niners for a couple years?
Well, it seems like they do miss Kaywan Williams.
Now, Kaywan
Williams wasn't healthy at the end of it, but Kaywan Williams was a very good nickel corner.
Maybe the argument is, Joe, there's no good three cornerbacks in the league, which I'll listen to. Okay, that's a fair rebuttal. Like, how many teams have three really good? It's like saying, how many teams have five great offensive linemen? Not many, right? If any. I don't know how many teams have three great DBs, but I do know that third DB has been a big problem for them. So we could argue about how much control he has on that. Right. But like spending a third round pick on the kicker, that's every time, and it's fair or not, every time Moody misses a kick, that gets brought back up by a lot of fans. Like, you spent a third rounder on him, right? And it's hard to defend that when he misses a kick. But like, again, Justin Tucker, one of the best kickers of all time, is having a bad year.
Yeah, he's missing a lot of kicks.
He's having a bad year. Maybe he's on the decline. I don't know. Kickers go in and out. The penalties, to me, it's not like team-wide, like 11 penalties for 200 yards.
Right.
They're not that undisciplined. It's the situational penalties where what I call great coaching, McVay and Kevin O'Connell identifying weaknesses in your defense, we are going to attack Devondre Campbell and Yiadom.
Which I would like to see Shanahan do more of. Attack teams' weaknesses. There's a lot of weaknesses on that Rams defense. Keep attacking it. Keep attacking it. But at the same time, players have to make – you get 6 drop passes in a game where Brock Purdy has been excellent with his accuracy, with his scrambling, with his pocket presence. Guys let him down. Guys didn't make plays when you needed to make the plays. Let's go to Leland in the 916.
What's up, Leland?
He's been on hold for a while. What's up, Leland?
Hey, good morning, guys. A lot of passion today, and I appreciate it. You know, there's two arguments that you guys are hitting right on the head. First of all, let me say, totally agree with you that coaches do not play. They don't execute. Players do. I get it 100%. But the focus of my argument today really is going to be on Nick Sorensen and on one specific play to Tutu Atwell. How did they get that open over the top? Charvarius Ward was the defender, and if you go back and look at the replay, he had a 2.5-step lead on Charvarius Ward. Mm. That can't happen. You know, all throughout the conversation, we're like looking at a lot of the holes in the Swiss cheese, you know, the left guard, the right tackle, subpar performances of the defensive line. And there's like key moments in third quarter, fourth quarter, that if something, one little thing would have turned out different, that could have, you know, affected the outcome. But my biggest complaint as a fan is that Nick Sorensen, I think, is lost. He doesn't know how to adapt. If you look at the what the Rams did, they held him for the first two drives, and then from the rest of the game on, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, they earned their 27 points. Nick Sorensen doesn't know what to do. He cannot adapt. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Good call. Go ahead.
The adapting is very interesting because I thought that McVay, what he realized was like, oh, you guys are going to play man on us? Well, we're going to do a bunch of bunch formations, meaning having multiple wide receivers playing very tightly on each other, and we're going to run a bunch of rub routes and crossers because we don't think that any of your DBs can run with Tutu Atwell. Not that Tutu Atwell is some genetic freak, but he's fast.
Speed, though. He's got speed.
But that's playing to a guy's strength, right? You're playing to a strength. What's crazy to me is that I thought that McVay adapted really well. Kyle came out and the game plan was brilliant. I mean, I'm looking, look how many yellows. Yellows are good. Look how many great plays early on. They marched right down the field. Brilliant play call to get them seven, go up 7-0. And then the second drive was like, it was perfect. It was a great drive. And there were some bad throws from Purdy on that drive, but Purdy dime. I'm looking at a pick play.
I charted every one of Purdy's throws yesterday and in parentheses, I'm like, great play design.
Yes.
Perfect throw. Pocket presence. Great catch. But to your point about McVay adjusting, they came into the game and they threw up the graphic early that the Rams had played in 11 personnel 100% of the time this season. One running back, one tight end, three wide receivers.
Yeah.
They adjusted and went to a lot of 12 personnel with two tight ends, one running back, and two wide receivers. And they committed to the run game. And they got adjust, and they adjusted very, very well to what Kyle Shanahan and company were doing defensively.
It just felt like after the Niners' third drive, when Purdy rolled right and threw the ball to Ayuk and it got dislodged by White.
By Tre'Davious White.
It's a 50-50
It's a 50-50. I gave the credit to the DB on that one. But I understand why fans will come down Ayuk's road because when you hold in and you get all the money and you want to get paid like a top five, top ten wide receiver – those are plays fans expect you to make. And 100%. There's too many plays that's been 50-50 that Ayuk hasn't made so far in the first 3 weeks of the season. So I get why fans want to get on Ayuk.
But that drive right there, this was where the game flipped. They got this crosser on a first down on 3rd and 8, all right? Then you get the intentional grounding from Stafford. It's 2nd and forever.
I know.
And they chip away. They get down to 4th and 6, and they run that fake punt. And from that moment on, it just felt like, oh, my God, we're going to be killing ourselves for not getting that field goal attempt at minimum on that third drive. And it sucks because it felt like you were chasing the missed points the entire time.
Even on that fake punt, D. Waiters got hurt on the play. That's when he got hurt with the ankle injury. But the direct snap on 4th and 6, and they were just going over it.
It's just,
like Mark Sanchez was talking about the play, like, oh, so man, bad. You hold him out. And then it goes fake, and it's fake, and they get around the left end. It's just unbelievable how that could flip. And they end up, again, that was a 16-play, 87-yard drive that ate up nearly 8 minutes to suck the life out of the Niners' offense.
And the way Kyren scored that touchdown, flipping over the defender, was pretty sick.
How about this one?
It was incredible. He jumped in the air and did a full flip.
Well, he did the Texas ride against Devondre Campbell.
That was a great throw by Stafford.
6-5-0. We had to discuss this. Before we go back out to the lines, we're going to go to Alex in Atlanta next. So we got everybody. The heavy hitters are out today. 650 Xfinity Mobile text line. With 2:47 left in the game, Niners up 24-17. I hadn't thought about this.
Uh-huh.
Why does Shanahan go a 455-yard field goal? They punt, pit inside the 10-yard line. The game is over. Now that's counting on Wisnowski to pit him inside the 10-yard line. But I understand that philosophy.
So that whole drive, the plays leading up to that, Garendo going out of bounds and getting the penalty. The clock was stopping. It was like, oh, my goodness. Yeah. Like, I hear you on that one. I thought why you drafted Moody. So this is how I view it. To make those kicks. To make a 55-yarder.
And
that's why
distance.
Robbie Gould isn't on this team.
Right.
And give Purdy credit. He scrambled to give you an opportunity to get that field goal.
He's got
to
make that kick. He's got to make the kick.
I'm kind of with you.
He's got to make the kick.
Can we also acknowledge 55 is not. I don't. What do you think the percentage is?
Hey,
I don't even know. What is the percentage?
It's for Harrison Buckner, it feels like 100%.
But for an average kicker, it's low.
It's 55 is a tough kick.
I don't know what the numbers are.
55 is a tough kick. 55 is a tough kick. I don't care what the numbers are, Shasky. 55 is 55.
But that's a good long field goal. That is a good point that I hadn't thought of because you get the ball to 45. 45.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. This guy, 6-5-0, makes a good point
there.
I hadn't thought about it.
It's a good point. But right tackle, one last thing. I'm watching this game, and as Trent Williams goes out of it, and then you got Jalen Moore in there for just a couple plays, can you get me David Bakhtiari? Can someone sign the man? I'm watching Judon. You didn't make a move for another defensive end, and he's making plays for Atlanta. The right tackle spot will rear its ugly head and sabotage another drive somewhere soon.
Is Bakhtiari any good anymore?
I don't even know, but I know Kansas ain't great.
Because Kansas City needs a right tackle. They need tackles. Don't you think Kansas...
Bench the rook.
You know, I don't know if Bakhtiari's any good anymore. I don't know if he's gotten any juice left.
I mean, we were crushing two guys that are literally coming off the street, and Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams, and now you're bringing David Bakhtiari, who's also coming off the street. I don't know what shape he's in.
That's a problem.
Really quick, he's played 13 games over the last three seasons.
Yeah, I don't know how good he is. I don't know.
Do you trust Jalen Moore at all?
They made enough plays to win a damn game yesterday. They got flaws. I'm sure Kansas City doesn't trust their left tackles. They're going to figure it out. They look sick though.
I turned that game off. I was like, I hate you.
Oh, I watched the entire game.
No call DPI that time too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
But they figure out ways to win those games.
Did you see the new uniforms for the referees? They're going to get unveiled.
No, what uniforms?
Oh, they're red and yellow. They're chief color jerseys for the refs. I don't know if you noticed that.
That's a three.
I hate them.
They didn't get cut, but the Falcons were getting some calls yesterday. Falcons were getting some calls on Sunday football.
Kirk Cousins, not enough.
Alex in Atlanta, the unofficial statistician of the morning roast. Alex, the floor is yours.
All right. First of all, gentlemen, I got to agree with Joe Shasky's point on the whole time management thing in the final 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. Fonte, I get it. If Ronnie Bell catches that ball, we're not even talking about this. But in terms of percentages, I always lean towards the side of playing the percentages.
I don't follow spreadsheets.
I completely get that. I understand. I mean, just because something happens outside the realm of, you know, probability, you know, you run into confirmation bias at that point. But that aside, I agree with Shasky's point, too, that you can't always expect someone to make a 55-yard kick on the road. I mean, Jake Moody made a 55-yarder in the Super Bowl last year, and that was a Super Bowl record. You can't expect those to happen every game. I get it. That's why you drafted him. But I would imagine the percentages of making that type of kick on the road are probably just a little bit better than a coin flip. So not going to blame him on that. The biggest thing I took away from yesterday's game was actually in the press conference after the game. And it was very telling to me how Brock Purdy handles questions in a press conference where he feels like he takes on more accountability than he should. And then when I hear answers from Kyle Shanahan, it seems at times, and I go back to the Steve Wilkes situation last year, where he doesn't take as much accountability as he should for bad decision-making. I know it's a team sport. Players got to make plays. I'm not trying to blame Kyle for the loss in particular, but I'd like to see a little bit more personal accountability from him on decision-making moving forward for the team. That's all I got.
It's interesting because, you know, my takeaway from this game, even though it's a loss, how could you not feel better about Purdy? Like, even if you're like a skeptical Purdy fan, which is fair, I get it. Like, he's never won the big one. Whatever. How could you watch that game and he made throw after throw after scramble after scramble after slide and like evaded so much pressure and still be like, yeah, I just don't know.
Well, not only that, he showed leadership in defending Ronnie Bell. Yesterday, he threw a great deep ball. And so after that game, and you know, I went down a rabbit hole. I was like late now. I was like, I need to go to sleep because I started thinking, what if this team does flame out? Now, we've got a long way to go. But if you do reinvent the team, I now feel comfortable saying, you know what? Build an offense around Brock Purdy and give him some playmakers who can go deep, give him some speed, give him something. Because he was